Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes, Lord, give me your eyes so I can see. For everything that I keep missing, give me your love for humanity. Give me your heart for the brokenhearted.
Host Mariah Wilde, and I'm so happy to be with you tonight. I hope you had a great day at Family Link. Oh my goodness, we have been so busy helping children find families. We just placed three little boys, a 2-year-old, 7-year-old, and 12-year-old. And you know what? Just now, I got a message that we need three more little boys in emergency placement, emergency home today, a 2-year-old, 4-year-old, and 7-year-old. I'm like, oh my goodness, we need families who want boys. And then we were working on a sibling group of four that included 11-year-old twins, a 1.5-year-old, and a 4-month-old. Like, oh, and these twins were girls, the older ones. Can you imagine how scared they are? Thinking, are we going to be separated from our baby sister? They probably take incredible care of the little brothers and sisters. And it would be devastating to be separated. But do you also know how hard it is to find a family that's open to 4 or even 5? Oh, and then we also have a sibling group of 6. 6 children that need a family together. That every time I see 4, 5, 6, even 8, our largest sibling group ever, I think we were looking for was 12 children. Anytime I see that, I just think, God, help us. We need Legacy Ranch to be ready. We could be saying yes to these children. Legacy Ranch will be a multi-generational community, a community that is created for love, hope, and healing, a place where children will not be separated, will they will not be sent away, but that they'll truly be loved. And, you know, we just want them to come into their great destiny. Their destiny in this life is not to be separated, not to be hurt, not to age out of this foster care system and be homeless on the streets and doing drugs and then perpetuating the same cycle. That is not these children's destiny. No, they are meant for such great things. And I have to tell you that I have seen miracles. I have seen miracles of women who were prostitutes and had all the reason in the world, if there was one, to have an abortion. Yet they chose life. They chose life. And you know what? I'm raising one of those children today. She is one of the most smartest, talented, strongest child you'll ever meet. And yet she came from a circumstance that many people in the world would just go, oh, you probably already damaged that baby, you know, in the womb. It's probably going to be messed up because of drugs and because of your lifestyle. You should just go ahead and have an abortion. This birth mother I'm speaking of, she had pressure to have an abortion. Everybody, her parents, she's a prostitute, but she still talked to her parents. Everybody thought that she should have an abortion. And yet she herself told me, I said, no, I don't want to do that. I want this baby to have life. And now this baby excels at just about everything. It's amazing. Tries out for something, gets in the top spot. Does that mean if she didn't, she wouldn't be as valuable or important? No, not at all. It's just kind of mind-blowing. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. How you can have the... But our God is a redeemer. And it doesn't matter the circumstances of a child. It doesn't matter how they were conceived, whether it be rape, whether it be prostitution, whether it be into poverty. It doesn't matter because, see, that child is so valuable and precious. And whoever they are and wherever they came from, God has a destiny and a purpose and a plan. And he has something incredible in this life for them to do that nobody else can do. Isn't that amazing? So these children that I was talking to you about, this sibling group of 4, the sibling group of 6, when they are placed into a home, when their hearts begin to heal. See, then we find out at Family Link, what are their special gifts? What do they really enjoy doing? What are their talents? Then we help them know that wherever they've been isn't where they've got to go from here on out. That today is a new day, and it's a day of change, and it's a day of healing. That's what happens in foster care and adoption. I think you can see why I'm excited about it, because I see the miracles. I see our adopted children, and their eyes are bright, big smiles. And even though in the past, yes, they have been hurt, God is a God of miracles. And really, he uses love to create miracles. We have families who are not professionals in the child welfare field. You know who they are? They're people who have a heart. They're people who want to step out of their comfort zone and say, you know what? Some people go overseas to be missionaries and to work with orphans. I found out through Family Link, or I happen to know there are children who are, in a sense, orphans, who don't have any family to care for them, and I don't even have to go anywhere. I can bring them into my own home. That's amazing. If that's something that you've thought about, or if you'd like to volunteer, foster, or adopt, then I invite you to go to our website, familylinkkids.com. Send us a message. I'll get that message, too, if you go to contact us. We'd love to invite you to our next training in September. We have training in September for Austin and San Antonio and all points in between in Texas. And so we would love to see you. Even if you're just thinking, oh my gosh, Mariah, I don't know if I can foster or adopt, but I want to help. Okay, that's fantastic. We would love to share with you our heart, our vision, to equip you, to train you, and to get to know you. And the way we do that is through our training classes. We have a potluck lunch. We make it really fun, and I'll be one of the main teachers. And so I'd love to see you there. So another exciting thing that we have going on is that same day, one of the training days, September 24th, is a parent's day out. So some of our foster parents are going to go out and have a date or go to the movies, whatever, spend some time away. And we are going to have the children. So we're going to have lots going on. We're going to have the training. And then we're going to have a whole incredible children's event, foster and adopted children's event, mostly foster children, where we can just love on the kids, play with them, eat with them, do arts and crafts, hold babies. I tell you what, we have a lot of babies at Family Link. And that's an event that our volunteers are going to be helping with and hosting. And I'm excited to have one of our volunteers coming up on our show, Mallory from the Lake Travis Chamber. She is has taken a great role in getting volunteers and organizing the event for our children. And it's going to be at Austin Ridge where our training is at. Isn't that neat? So see, if you were a volunteer, you could help plan parties, plan events, be there with us, and know that you are making a difference. I don't know who wouldn't want to do that. So I sure hope that you would like to. Now, the only reason I can kind of understand that you might not is if you aren't feeling well. If you are having a hard time, and so, you know, this happened the other day. I was talking to a lady. My mom knows her, and she's a nurse. She just was an OB nurse. Oh, how special to help bring babies into the world. And yet, she was in a car accident about 5 years ago, and she has not been able to receive any pain relief. Her neck hurts, her back hurts. She's just in intense pain. She's gone to chiropractors, doctors, neurological specialists. And yet every day she lives in this constant pain. And she is a grandmother helping raise her grandchildren. And so she needs energy. She needs to be out of pain. And so my mom said, Mariah, will you, if I invite her over, will you share Ciara with her? I have seen myself, my mom herself has seen how it helps relieve pain. And she has known other people that it's helped. And so she wanted to help her friend, Becky. And so she asked me, if I invite her over, will you bring all your stuff? And I said, sure. And so we began to, we put on the pure energy, the pure energy balance. It's kind of like right then you've gone through acupuncture, but even stronger, begin to balance your body. And then we also put on the pure relief chips on her neck, on her back. And it was amazing. A smile began to come over her face. And she said, I can feel the pain going. Now, it was still there in the 30 minutes that we were, you know, sitting there. But she could feel it diminishing right then. That is so amazing. There's no side effects. And then she told me that her son was diving in a I think I remember if it was a pool or a river, and he didn't hit his head. Thank God he's not a paraplegic, but he hit his arm and he ended up hurting his, he dove too deep. And he told her that he was in the most intense pain in his life. They went to the emergency room, of course, right after it happened. And so I said, oh my gosh, okay, here's what to do. And I sent her home with things to help him. That is so powerful. Even if you're not in pain yourself, like I'm not in pain, but to know that I have something that I can offer to people who are either in chronic pain or to my kids when they are hurt their toe, sprain their ankle because of sports, etc., that has no side effects. And it's incredibly powerful. I think you can tell that I'm kind of excited about it because I love natural things, but I love things that actually work. So check out familylink.ciara.com, familylink.ciara.com. You can send me a message through familylinkkids.com if you'd like more information or if you'd like a sample. If your need is for energy, there's another one for pain relief, another one for allergy sinus relief. So many of my friends, I've never had allergies, but many of my friends have gotten off Claritin and all the other stuff you can do and just use this instead. Very natural. It's amazing and effective. And also for sleep. Now that's when I use every night because I need my sleep to be deep, healing, and restful and ready to go early the next morning. So I just want to help you and I want to help you feel great. And I want you to live out your destiny. And I really hope that if you have extra energy and you're sleeping great and you're feeling wonderful, that you will partner with Family Link. Help us help more kids. You're listening to Life Matters. We'll be right back with my special guest, Elizabeth McClung. You are going to be amazed at some of the stories coming up. It's going to be incredible. So we'll be right back.
For just one second, give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Well, welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, and I am so happy to be with you. And, oh, Elizabeth, I'm so happy to be with you.
Hey, Mariah, how are you?
Hey. Oh, I'm doing great. And, you know, every time I get a text from you, my heart just sings. I'm just like, oh, my gosh, that is so awesome. In fact, I'm going to read some a little bit later on the show. There's been times I've called my daughter or I forwarded them on. I'm like, look, this is so amazing. And so, you know, I really want today to share with people because I bet many of our listeners have no idea what's going on.
Right.
So I want to touch their heart, but I also want to let them know that on a daily basis, they too could be part of this miracle. I mean, it is pretty mind-blowing. So let's start off a little bit, though, with you. Share with everybody about your ministry and how it started, and then we'll go into some of the other things I really want to talk to you about.
Well, I'm the director of the Austin Coalition for Life, and just to kind of give you a little idea, in 2004, there's a Coalition for Life over in Bryan College Station, and they came up with this crazy idea about keeping vigil out on the sidewalk in front of their local abortion clinic for 40 days straight. And it was so effective. It slashed their local abortion rates by 28% after they had been on the sidewalks for those 40 days praying. So this really powerful and effective movement spread not just across the state and the country, but the world. And so when I first moved to Austin in the fall of 2008, Austin hadn't seen a prayer vigil out on their sidewalks for 40 continuous days like that before. So we just started conducting these prayer vigils out on the sidewalks here in Austin. And we saw that God had much bigger plans than we thought of. He just kept on growing and growing our prayer presence and turning more and more women away and helping save more and more women and children from abortion. So in the fall of 2009, we took this idea of our 40-day prayer vigil and we kind of turned it into the Coalition for Life so that we're out on the sidewalks not just during those 40 days that the world is out on their sidewalks simultaneously praying, but we're out there on a weekly basis throughout the year praying for these women, reaching out to them, and just being out there to be a voice of love and a voice of truth in a very compassionate manner.
You know, think about that, 28% down. I bet when you heard that, you're like, okay, that's the equivalent of 1 in 4 babies that would have been aborted, that would not have the opportunity to have life, one out of four is going to be rescued at the minimum in that in during that study. That's amazing. And so it's so neat, though, because some people would go, wow, that's really cool. But you said, oh, my gosh, what if we could do that elsewhere? Let's do it. And then isn't that one in four baby, isn't that baby worth it? Not just for those 40 days, but year round. Because guess what? It's going to be a different baby when you're out of that 40 days.
Exactly.
So isn't that other baby worth it? And then the next one and the next
one. They're human lives. Exactly.
Exactly. And then what about their moms? You know, I know women who've had abortions, and I do not know one that is not so regretful. And personally, I'm just really grateful that that's not anything I've ever had to deal with. And that, like, and I actually did have a baby when I was 18, but I was raised in a very pro-life home. And so I just would never have considered abortion. But what if I did not know? And then I thought, oh, this is too embarrassing, because since I was raised in a pro-life home and I'm very conservative, and I clearly knew that was wrong what I did, although I did get married right away. But I'm just so grateful, because if I didn't know and nobody was there to share with me the value of my child and the value of my life, then I could today be living with that regret. But instead, and regret, and it's much deeper than that, regret and grief. Like with the what ifs, oh, my daughter would have been one. My daughter would have been five. But no, you know what? My daughter is 19. Mm. If you do the math, you know exactly how old I am. And, still young, I tell you. And so, but I have a 19-year-old daughter instead, and I never had to live with that grief. And guess what? She has had a life, and she's going to go and do incredible things. Right now, she works at Family Link, and she has been my partner in many things. She's gone with me to abortion clinics. But see, there are other girls that maybe 16, 17, 18, 20, and they're either embarrassed or they're inconvenienced. They don't know, and they don't have the privilege of being raised in a pro-life home. They don't have the privilege of the knowledge that we have. And so you guys are there to share with them what they do not know.
Exactly. And you said it perfectly, Mariah, because so many women just don't know that there's help for them. They just don't know that there's other choices. They just don't know. So we just need to be there to be that voice of truth and that voice of support for them, because so many of these women, they just feel alone, and they need to be told that they are strong enough to do what God has made them to do. And obviously He's letting them be a mother right then and there, because they already have the baby. So we're just out there to be that support and that love, because we know that these abortion clinics are there for one thing and one thing only. They're there to offer abortions. They don't offer adoption services. They don't offer prenatal care. They're there for abortions. So we want to be there to be that real voice of alternative and that voice of just love and support.
Exactly. And so as we're doing that, we're doing it for the babies, but we're also doing it for the moms, and so that they don't have that pain and regret and grief. But then we're also doing it for the dads, because sometimes we forget about them. But so many of your stories, so many of your real life stories have to do with the dads as well. And so then these dads can sometimes feel so, so lost. Sometimes they feel like they want their girlfriend or wife to do this because they just don't want to be a dad right now. Other times they desperately don't want to, but they don't know what to say because they feel like, well, I'm trying to be supportive. That's why I told her it's her decision. But then the girl feels like, well, obviously he doesn't want this baby because he said it's my decision. He would be begging me to keep the baby if he wanted. So there can be so much miscommunication and misunderstanding. And in the middle of that, the loss of a life. And
exactly.
So
And you know what? A couple weekends ago, Mariah, we had some people that were praying in front of an abortion clinic in North Austin, and you bring up a really good point about the dads, because this one car pulled up into the parking lot, but they stopped in the driveway for a second and rolled their window down to talk to the sidewalk counselor, who was just smiling and waving at them. And when they roll their windows down, the sidewalk counselor sees that both the boyfriend and this young girl were both just in tears. They felt like they just had to do it. They felt like that was the only answer to their problems right then and there. And to see not just the mother being so torn up about this, but the baby's father, who is obviously so emotionally affected by it. And after talking to the sidewalk counselor in the driveway for about 10 minutes and realizing that they didn't have to do it and that there were pregnancy centers to help them through this, they turned around and they went straight to one of the pregnancy centers. They chose life.
That is so awesome. And so let's think about this for a minute. 10 minutes. On top of that, it was a guy they were talking to, right?
It was, yes.
And so there's a lot of men out there that think, well, I really do care about this issue, but it's just not my place.
And they've been told it's a woman's issue.
Yes, but babies are not created by just women and women alone, first of all.
And so, every baby has a mother and a father.
Exactly. And some of these babies are boys, so obviously it's a girl and boy issue. And so, I tell you what, these babies want to live. And so whoever you are, you can be an advocate. So just think about this man. He must probably went through some challenges to get to working with you guys. One, in his own head, oh, it's not really my place. I don't want to go there. And the women are going to be like, who? How do you know? You never even had a baby. How can you tell me to have one? So he probably thought about that. Probably people that he knows thought, what are you talking about? You are going to go to an abortion clinic? That is so ridiculous. How can you go as a guy? So he had all this resistance. But you know, and then who knows what else? But then 10 minutes of his time, you know what's going to happen? A beautiful, precious, fragile, incredible little newborn will be born in probably around 6 to 7 months. Mom and dad are going to be smiling and just like, oh my gosh, they're going to be so in love with this baby. I'll bet you there's going to be a grandma, a grandpa or two crying. And this little one will just open his eyes up with wonderment at the world. You know how they do those little newborns? If you've ever been to a birth, you know what I'm talking about. They begin to look around, and then mom and dad talk to them, and they recognize their voice. And so then their eyes latch on to, oh, that's my place of safety. Oh, that's my mom. And see, this baby, that's going to happen. In 6 to 7 months, he's going to look and he's going to see, oh, this is my mom and this is my dad.
And it is, and describing that seeing this baby be born, that was scheduled to be aborted, that is one of the most indescribable joys I think I have ever known in my whole life. Is the first time that I held a baby, that his mother was one of the women that I'd reached out to on the sidewalk, and she canceled her appointment. She didn't go through with it. But it's pure joy, because you know in your head and you know in your heart that this baby was scheduled to not be alive right now. But they are, just because people were out on the sidewalks, just because people were out there praying. And it's the power of prayer. And then that prayer put into action by us using our voices to just help. It's so effective. It is so powerful.
Oh, that's amazing. Tell us about that story, the one, the baby that you held. How did it start?
Oh, my goodness. There are a few times in my life that I've cried from being completely happy, and that was one of them. Actually, this one that I remember the most, just because I'm closest to her now. This isn't the first baby that I was able to hold, but this was one of the most powerful for me in my life. Last summer, I was supposed to be up in Chicago for a pro-life workshop for sidewalk counselors. But I got on my plane in Austin. We circled around DFW for, goodness, like an hour. We couldn't land. They canceled all their flights out of the airport. And I ended up coming back to Austin, and I was kind of frustrated. I was sitting here thinking, God, what are you doing? I really wanted to go to this workshop. Mm-hmm. And so I figured, well, if I'm stuck in Austin for the weekend, I'll go out to the sidewalk. I'm here in town. I might as well. And that Saturday when I was out on the sidewalk, there weren't any other Spanish-speaking sidewalk counselors out there. I was the only one. And, of course, I'm this little white girl that tries to speak Spanish. But this young woman pulls up with one of her friends, and I look at them and I say, good morning, how are you, in English? And they don't respond, so I immediately start speaking to them in Spanish. And she walks up to me at the fence, and we start talking. Mariah, we ended up talking for like an hour. She spilled her whole heart to me. She told me that she's got two kids back in Honduras, that she's working two jobs, that she had her lights turned off the month before because she couldn't pay her light bills, and she was so worried about being pregnant. And one of the things she told me, she says, and she was so candid with me, she says, look, I know that having sex outside of marriage the way that I did was wrong. I just really need to go fix this now. And I was able to actually talk to her a little bit about God and about abortion and how it relates to our faith. And I said, well, can I ask you a question? And she said, yeah. I said, do you believe in God? And she said, well, of course I do. And the whole time we're speaking in Spanish, she said, of course I do. And I said, what do you think God thinks about abortion? And she just kind of stared at me for a second. And she was really quiet, and she said, well, he doesn't like it. I said, of course he doesn't like it, because this baby that he gave you, he gave this baby life, and he loves this baby, and most, he loves you too. And we had been talking for like 45 minutes, and I realized, and I said, hey, I'm really sorry. I know that I introduced myself at the beginning of the conversation, but I didn't catch your name. And she said, Elizabeth. And I said, no, that's my name. What's your name? And she said, Elizabeth. And I said, are you kidding me? And she had told me in the conversation that she had been asking God for a sign not to go through with it. And I said, this is your sign. We have the same name. I'm not supposed to be in Austin right now. There's no other Spanish speakers out here. And she kind of started laughing. And she told me, she said, all right, I won't do it, but I need your help. I said, okay. We went straight to one of the pregnancy centers. Her little boy, Jonathan, was born on Valentine's Day this year.
Oh, my God!
When I went to the hospital after she had just given birth to him, it's so joyful, because you hold this baby that you know 6, 7, 8 months ago, he was scheduled to be killed, but he wasn't. And it's all glory to God. He gets all the credit, but it is overwhelmingly joyful.
Mm. Oh, that is so amazing. And so now you weren't there just in that time, which is incredibly powerful and wonderful, but you were also there for this mom. And that's what being truly pro-life is.
It is
being there during the crisis. During the crisis, whether that be being a volunteer at a crisis pregnancy center, if it's being there, what I call the passageway between life and death, that's really, it's the last line. That's it. At the abortion clinics, that is it. And you could make that difference between life and death. But then it's also being there for that woman that says, here's the reasons why I was going to have an abortion. The reasons are still there. And so can help me. And so maybe it's not you that can help you specifically, but maybe you can connect them with churches, connect them with organizations.
Exactly.
Connect. And so then it goes to the point where this woman says, gosh, I'm so grateful that I did choose life, and I feel this baby. Now I'm 6 months pregnant, and he's kicking around, and he's moving around, and oh my gosh, it's more real now. Oh, I didn't even realize, like, last month it was a baby. Now I can feel for sure it is. But maybe I just don't think I can do it. I'm not ready. Then that's where adoption come in, and that's where Family Link is. We're ready for those newborns. But on the other hand, what if this woman says, oh, I'm going to try being a parent. Look how cute this baby is. And then a year, 2, 5, 10 down the road, this mom can't do it. See, that's truly pro-life. It's being there from the beginning, then throughout the mom and the baby's life. And that's where these kids in the beginning we talked about, a sibling group of four, twin 11-year-olds, a 4-month-old, and 1.5-year-old. That's very pro-life to foster and adopt, because we're so grateful. We're so grateful that their mother chose life. And if they need us now, then we're there for them.
And that's so true, because so many people confuse being pro-life with just caring about babies that are in the womb. Being pro-life mm-hmm. means we value the dignity of every single human being. And that necessarily includes these pregnant mothers. That necessarily includes all the children once they're born. And we respect this worth that every human being has. And you're so right, Mariah.
Exactly. Oh, I'm so excited. Makes me want to go out there today with you. Too bad I'm in a whole nother state right now. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Life Matters. Check us out at familylinkkids.com and donate online as well. Give us your website, Elizabeth. They can check it out during the break.
It is austincoalitionforlife.com, all spelled out.
We'll be right back with Elizabeth. We're going to hear more, some of these incredible stories, and I'm going to read to you some of her texts, and I would encourage you to contact them through austincoalition.com, right?
Austin Coalition for Life.
For Life. .com. And get on the text list as well. That's a great place to begin. So you can begin, you'll know what's going on, you'll pray, and we're also going to tell you some other ways to get involved. We'll be right back.
For just 1 second, give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, and I am so happy to be with you. And I'm so happy to be with you, Elizabeth. Oh, every time I see you or get to talk to you, I just feel like we have a kindred spirit. And I'm so,
you are a joy.
I am so grateful for what you do and for what your group organization does. It's really, truly miracles every day. So let's talk a little bit about, somebody might just be joining us and they're going, what are you talking about? And so we're talking about an organization led and founded by Elizabeth, of people that are willing to get outside of their comfort zone, of people who are willing to go to that place, a place where there's a passageway between life and death. And that's an abortion clinic, and that can be a scary place for some people. They're like, oh, well, I am pro-life, but, you know, at that point it's too late when they're deciding that. No, it is not too late. And see, I first went to an abortion clinic when I was, I must have been 17-ish, maybe 18. And I'll never forget some of these women. So, you know, some of them are crying, some are young, some are old. But there are many, many, many who are just looking for a reason not to do it. But see, they're being pushed into it. So people think, oh, you're trying to push people not to have an abortion. It's like, oh my gosh, do you think that they're not being pushed into? Sometimes it's their boyfriends, sometimes it's their parents. We have actually there's been some parents who have trying to force, which is against all their amendments, all their rights, trying to force their daughter into having an abortion. And so we're not there to push or to force anybody to do anything. When we go to an abortion clinic, we're there to educate, to inform, and to support. And that's totally different. See, they're already being pushed into it usually. And so I've been there. By the way, we're talking about doing something that's illegal. And so if you do it in a legal way, so you just stand on the public property, you don't go onto actually the abortion clinic's property. And hey, it's a free country. We can stand in, like, you know, public area that we're paying for with our taxes. And if you're there to give information, and so that's different. Can you see, like, if maybe there's a domineering, abusive man and he's trying to get this woman is cowering and he's being forcing her into, this has happened. And then I might say, oh, I have something that's really important for you. I need to talk to you before you go in there. And that woman can look up and has a face of fear, but it's also, oh my gosh, is this an angel sent to help me? Sometimes they feel that way. They're not strong enough on their own. They need to lean on your strength. And so, and on the other hand, it might be a husband or a boyfriend who's going, please, please, this is my baby and I'm scared. I want this child, but she doesn't think that we can raise this baby, but I'll do whatever it takes. Can you help? Can you talk to her? And it's that last chance. So I want you to really kind of open your mind up today. Like, could that be me? Could that be me being there to be there for that girl who's hurting and scared and just needs somebody to offer her another option? Could that be me to reach out to that dad to say, please talk to my girlfriend? I need somebody else to help. My baby's life is on the line. Could it be you?
And you know what, Mariah? Sometimes we don't even have to talk. It's so amazing to see the power of prayer out there. Earlier, I'll say this is a little more than a month ago now, earlier this summer, there was about 60 people, and between 50 and 60, that were standing and praying, just peacefully smiling out on the sidewalk in front of this one clinic in South Austin. And this truck pulls up into the parking lot. It's the boyfriend is driving, the girlfriend is sitting shotgun, and another car pulls in right behind them. And it's this little small sports car, and this big old man gets out of the small sports car, and he walks over to the truck because the truck was just sitting in his parking spot, and he begins talking to this young couple. And I'm thinking, you know, this is probably one of the kids' dads, and they look like they were teenagers. This older man continued to talk to them for about 20-30 minutes, and all we could do, this young girl was still in her car, her windows up, she couldn't hear us, and I made eye contact with her many times. I smiled and I waved, and she was just, I mean, you could just see she was crying, she was distraught. Mm. And finally this older man gets in his car and he drives off, and this young couple sat in their car for another half hour just talking, and you could see this boyfriend was being so sweet. He was petting her. You could tell that he was just trying to be as sweet as he could to her. And finally, she never got out of the car. Finally, they pulled out of their parking spot, and they began to leave the parking lot. But in the driveway on their way out, they rolled the window down. And one of the ladies that I was standing next to and praying with, she walked over to the car as they were rolling the window down, and she wanted to offer them information on local pregnancy centers and just see what she could do to help them. But the first thing that they said when they rolled the window down was, "Thank y'all for being here, because we just decided not to do it since we realized we couldn't do it. Thank you for being here." And I mean, everybody was rejoicing at that point. But we found out that older man, that was, and they were both 18-year-olds. That was the girlfriend's father, who was trying to convince her to have the abortion. And
Wow. She
didn't know what to do. She felt trapped, but the boyfriend wanted the baby. But it was just the presence of people out there praying that was enough to change their minds.
Wow. So see, here she was. She was probably pressured by her dad. But then you look at all these people, and you're like, well, seems like this could be the right thing to do to have this baby. These people are willing to be out here in the heat, willing to spend their time on behalf of these babies, on behalf of my baby.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And
they,
we're not
they
talking
went straight
about
to the pregnancy center that afternoon.
Oh, that's so awesome. Now, I know you would have talked to her if you could. Like you said, you put made eye contact. Like you if she had been
right, willing
before to come to you, then you certainly would have talked to her. You couldn't go up to her in the parking lot. But you're saying that even just the presence of the people, even that in this instance and many others, was enough.
And
that's,
you know what's
amazing,
fascinating? One of my friends, her name is Abby Johnson. She used to be the director of an abortion clinic, and now that she's had a conversion and she is a big voice for the pro-life movement, she's told me that even Planned Parenthood knows, and they tell their employees and their volunteers this, but there is a proportional relationship between the number of people who are outside praying and the number of women who don't even show up for their abortion appointments.
Really?
Yes. The more people that are out there praying, the more women who don't show up.
So Planned Parenthood, and we found this out through one of their previous employees, director of an abortion clinic through Planned Parenthood, they have acknowledged maybe in a staff meeting or something that, you know what, we're not even talking about the numbers that come and then turn away. They're just all they know is inside we have like a 8:15, 8:30, 8:45 scheduled, and like a good number of those people never even walk through the door.
Yeah, the no-shows.
Isn't that amazing?
It's the power of the prayer presence out there.
And you guys are like, well, first of all, some of them did come, but they never made it through your doors. They actually did show up, but they just never made it through the actual door. And that child is alive. Others, because of the prayer, may have just even at home begin to feel like, you know, I just don't think I can do this. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. So when we come back from a break, will you share with us about Abby Johnson?
I sure will.
That has been, I mean, that's incredible, and I bet many of our listeners don't even know. You might be thinking, you're friends with a director of an abortion clinic? Yeah. Oh, my gosh, that's weird. It is weird. It's crazy weird, and we're going to hear about that when we come back. You're listening to Life Matters. Check us out at familylinkkids.com. Also, go to austincoalitionforlife.com. Oh, and we, yeah, really, in a sense, sister agencies. You guys are making sure that the children are born, in so much as many of the women who want support and care and love to make that life-affirming decision. And then if that child, though, at some point needs a family, that's where Family Link comes in. So, oh, they're both really important, and I'm so grateful for you. So we'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Well, welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, and I'm here with Elizabeth McClung, founder of the Austin Coalition for Life. And, you know, Elizabeth, during the break, I was just thinking about a time that I will never forget when I was at an abortion clinic. And so I was pregnant. I think I was pregnant. So I was 18 and And so I was with an older lady. Of course, when you're 18, older is like, what, 30? And so she might have been like 30. And she had invited me to go. And I'm like, sure, absolutely. And I'd already been a counselor at the Crisis Pregnancy Center and done a lot of pro-life stuff, actually, since I was 12. I hadn't done this one yet, though. And so I was there. I'm ready. We're doing it legally. We're, you know, on public property, but we're there to share. And then she, a very nice, I think it might have been a Cadillac, but a very nice car drives. And she, we see it doesn't use the driveway that we're in, but we can see it. And she says, oh, that's the main abortion doctor. I said, really? Okay. And so then I'm watching him. It's an older guy with like a shock of white hair. Guess what? He starts walking towards us and he gets closer and closer. And I just get madder and madder. And he gets toe to toe with me. And you know what? I was ready. I had my pamphlet, and I said, look at this baby. This is before we had the little ones you guys have. Look at this baby. Do you see these hands? Do you see these little feet? How can you tell me this is not a baby? And I said, babies come in here alive, and because of you, they are killed. How can you say this is not a child? And he stared at me, and he just looked at me. He didn't say one word, and he walked away. Mm. I'm like, seriously, this is so ridiculous. How can you say this is not a baby? I mean, at least admit it. You kill babies here. This is not right. They come alive, and they end up dead. Hello? I mean, it's like so true and basic. But I think he was shocked. I'm not sure what he was planning on saying, but he didn't say it. And so that was one of the times that really stuck out in my head. And then I have some other really neat ones. But I want to hear about Abby Johnson because, wow, sometimes we got to realize, too, when you say yes to God, unbelievable, exciting things happen. You never know. So let's just say tomorrow morning, you could just, you know, do your normal thing, get your kids to school, run some errands, you go to the grocery store, you plan your dinner. I'm thinking like a typical stay-at-home mom schedule. Mm-hmm. Get your dinner planned, you pick up your kids from school, you take a kid to soccer, and at the end of the day, you're tired, and you go, yeah, I had a good day. What if you had made a decision that Elizabeth made this particular day, and you said, you know what, I'm going to need to leave earlier. Somebody else might need to drop my kids off from school, or I'm going to get them to school and see, now I'm going to go to this clinic. I live in this town, and I'm going to go to this specific clinic. And I've been going, actually, one morning a week, and I know there's a director there, and I see her, and I've been praying for her. This could have been you. Take us from there, Elizabeth.
Well, and to kind of give you an idea of the setting, it was the first nationally coordinated 40 Days for Life, so it was the fall of 2007, and I had been going to pray in front of the Bryan College Station Abortion Clinic. It was a Planned Parenthood for years, since 2004, actually. And so during this first 40 days in 2007, I was out on the sidewalk Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. I was out there every single morning, starting off the prayer vigil, because, I mean, we're out there 24 hours a day, starting off the day and welcoming the new prayer volunteer. Sometimes I'd be out there by myself or just one or two other people. But every single morning, since I was out there so early, I would see all these workers getting to work. And they pull up in their cars every single morning. I got used to seeing their faces and, you know, seeing them arrive for work. And I knew different things about different people who worked inside of the clinic just because at the time I worked at the Brazos Valley Coalition for Life, the one over in Bryan. And I knew, okay, this person is the clinic director, this person is, you know, this role, and I knew a little bit about each one. And finally, after being out there for a couple of weeks, and I realized, this is silly, Elizabeth, you reach out to the women who are going in to this clinic for abortions or for other things, why don't you reach out to the workers too? So one morning, I saw Abby pull up in her car, and I knew who she was, and so I just said, hey, good morning, you're Abby, right? And she says, yeah. And I said, I don't know if I've ever introduced myself to you, but my name is Elizabeth. And it just started from there. And she said, yeah, I've heard you say your name out here before. And I was like, oh, well, I hope you have a good day. And so that was the beginning of us. I mean, we became friends through the fence. I respected her so much because I knew she was an intelligent, educated woman who was doing something that she really believed in. I might not agree with, obviously I didn't agree with it, but she was passionate about what she did, and I could at least respect that passion that she had. So we became friends. We talked every day that I was out there, and we even talked about abortion and about what she did a little bit. And one morning, like you said, one morning I just woke up and I said, you know, I'm going to, and it was totally the Holy Spirit now that I think about it, you know, I'm going to do something nice for Abby today. So I stopped at an HEB on the way, and I picked up some flowers, and I wrote a little note on the card, and I pull up to the sidewalk, and I'm out there praying, and it was just me. I was out there by myself, and I'm feeling a little silly standing there holding these flowers, and all of a sudden Abby pulls up, but instead of parking close to me at the fence where she normally parks, she parked way across the parking lot, like close to the back fence, and I'm thinking, oh, goodness. So she gets out of her car, and I say, hey, good morning, Abby. I have some flowers for you today. And she made a beeline for the door, and she, like, ran inside. So I'm like, oh, man. I'm standing here at left with these flowers, and I waited for half an hour, and finally my prayer shift was up after those 2 hours I was out there. And I thought, well, I'm not going to leave with these flowers. I bought them for her. I wrote the card for her. So I just went, and I laid them on the driveway. And that was it. I didn't know what happened to them. They just randomly disappeared, I found out, and at one point later on in the afternoon, and she and I still kept talking. Anytime I would go out to the sidewalk, I didn't bring them up because I didn't want it to be awkward, but I got an email 2 years later, and this was after I had moved to Austin, after I had started 40 Days for Life here in Austin and started launching the Austin Coalition for Life, and the email was from Abby, and she starts out by saying, hey, Elizabeth, I don't know if you remember me, but this is Abby Johnson, and I'm the director of the Planned Parenthood in Bryan, where you used to go pray at. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, of course I remember you. Yeah. So she says, something really, really big has happened in my life, and you're a big part of that, but I don't want to tell you about it in an email. Can you give me a call or something? So I'm thinking, my first thought is, Planned Parenthood's playing a prank on me. I was a little hesitant. I was like, what is Abby doing here? What's going on? So I called the Coalition for Life in Bryan, and I said, hey, I just got this email from Abby. And Sean, the director at the time, he said, Elizabeth, are you sitting down? You have to hear this sitting down. And I said, yeah, I'm sitting down. What's going on? And he told me about how she had walked out of Planned Parenthood, and she wanted to quit her job. And she had told Sean that day that she walked out that she wanted to talk to me, and I was a part of that. And he said, Abby, she lives in Austin. She's not here anymore. But when I ended up getting off the phone with him, and I called her immediately. And I drove to College Station the next day to have lunch with her. And we are such good friends. We go so many days just talking nonstop now. We're really good friends, and we work together on some of the stuff that we do. And it's amazing to see the way that God changes hearts.
But so she went from living a life promoting death. And when God really opened her eyes, now she promotes life. Now she travels in the country. She's doing incredible things, being a promoter of life and sharing some of the inside things that were happening in the abortion industry that most of us don't know. Mm-hmm. But to be a promoter of life, to be sharing, to be encouraging women to not have abortions, to standing up, being in the gap for these women, the complete opposite, not just going, I can't do this as a job anymore, and so I'm just going to, you know, go get a normal job. Hey, that would have been a great improvement, not living her life, damaging women, and being a promoter of death. That's good. But no, she went the complete opposite. When God opened her eyes to the truth and to the reality, now she's pouring her life into rescuing these mothers and fathers and babies from the damage and pain of abortion.
And you know, he opened her eyes in such a powerful, powerful way. Because when you're talking about the abortion doctor that you spoke to out on the sidewalk all those years ago, That's what she did as a worker in the clinic. She didn't do the abortions, but she had to literally reassemble these babies' body parts to make sure that they didn't leave a hand inside or a foot inside the woman, because that can cause a serious infection. So, I mean, she's dealing with blood and baby body tissue on a weekly basis at the clinic. And for her, it's almost like, I mean, she knew what she was doing. Most of these workers do, and they've just justified it saying that, well, it's necessary or, well, it's needed. And It had lost its shock value completely. But what God did to change her heart was this one, it was a visiting doctor who had come into to Bryan College Station, and he asked her to actually help with one of the procedures. So she's sitting there holding the ultrasound probe on the woman's abdomen. And the majority of doctors don't do ultrasound-guided abortions. They just blindly go around and do what they're going to do without watching it on an ultrasound screen. But this doctor did. So Abby's sitting there holding this probe on this woman's abdomen, and all of a sudden she can see this 13-week-old baby on the monitor. And the second that the doctor inserted these different instruments, this baby started trying to scoot away, and the way that she describes it is it's like it was struggling for its life, and it ultimately lost that battle for its life.
Mm.
And it wasn't all of those years that she had worked at the abortion clinic reassembling these body parts, but it was seeing the life of the baby and then seeing that baby lose that life. That, I mean, just instantaneous, a light went off in her head and God completely convicted her then. And that's what caused her to want to leave. And when she wanted to leave, she still had that card that I had given her on those flowers. And she looked at that card. That was one of the last things on her desk at work. And she said, I need to go to those pro-lifers. That's where I'll be safe.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? So that could be you. That could be you with the young girl praying outside, the young girl changing her mind. It could be you with the Honduran girl, and now baby Jonathan is alive. It could be you saying, being friendly and caring and praying for the employees, or being very truthful like I was with the doctor. And so, which, by the way, I've heard that. I don't think that center's even around anymore. It's a long time ago. That's good. They closed. But it's you standing in the gap. It's you caring enough to get out of your comfort zone. And if you don't want to start there, you know, there's some other little baby steps you can do. You can volunteer at the Austin Coalition for Life. There's some things you can do to kind of work your way. You can go and just pray and meet Elizabeth, meet some of the other volunteers, not even plan to say a word for a while. But it really starts with a passion and a compassion. And it's going, you know what, my care for this unborn child, my care for this mother, father, is going to be stronger and more important than my personal fear and the fact that I don't feel like doing it, I don't want to do it, and I have all these reasons that I can't do it.
And
so I just ask you today.
Read that perfect love overcomes fear.
That's right. So today is a day we're calling you to action. You know, you can volunteer at Family Link, help these children once they're born. We can volunteer at Austin Coalition for Life. It's standing in the gap for those that need you the most. But I dare you to stand in the gap. It'll be amazing. Take the step. Yeah, you got to get past your fear. Take the step. And, oh, some incredible miracles are waiting for you.
Amen.
We're out of time, Elizabeth. I can't wait to have you on again. It's so much fun and so inspiring to know that when we take God's hand and say, okay, God, we're going to be your hands and feet. We're going to love these children before they're born. We're going to love these children after they're born. We don't want to live an ordinary life. We're going to live an extraordinary life for you. Incredible, amazing things happen. You might be the one holding that little tiny baby and know, because I went to that clinic that day, now this baby is staring in my eyes. Now this baby is smiling at me. Oh my gosh. That's an unbelievable feeling, and we invite you to have it. So we've had so much fun, Elizabeth. We're out of time, but I'll be with all of you guys very soon.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Mariah. And it's such a joy to be working to build a culture.